Days, you know, days follow day, and which I know.
And pastor.
It may not be that many fathers here, but the main father's here. The main father is here, and he's the one that we need to look to. I'm so thankful for that. But I just want to encourage you to try to stay faithful and try to do what the Lord would have you to do. And I'm just not speaking to just to the fathers in here, but I'm speaking to each and every one of us that we need to be faithful. And what we do, and we must make sure that we do it in the name of the Lord, and we must allow Him to work in it, and we need to allow Him to be the center of our life. So this morning, I want to welcome each and every one of you this morning. Thank you for the singing. It was good. But you know, so nothing takes the place of the Word of God. And I know that sometimes it may seem like that I'm kind of scattered, but I am a scatterbrain, so, you know, sometimes I may jump around, but that's okay. You know, I'm trying to follow the leadership of the Lord, and I'm praying that each and every time that I stand up here behind this sacred desk that many preachers in the past has preached at and helped revivals, and Brother Poovey had filled this pulpit for many, many, many years and preached, thus saith the word of the living God. And all the evangelists and all the missionaries has been here. This past Wednesday night, had a missionary to come in, and I really enjoyed it. I really did. But we got, I don't know if y'all remember or not, but Brother J.D. Walker, the come here Sunday night. He's going to come back the 29th of this month in the afternoon 5 o'clock service, and he's going to present his work to the church, and then it's going to be up to the church if the church wants to take him on, support him. But I believe that the Lord will bless the church. I really do. But here this morning, I want to look at two different fathers this morning, and we can see both of them in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. We can see God the Father, the true Father of all men. And when I say man, I'm speaking of Christians. I'm speaking of the Christians and the saints of God. That's the ladies and the men. You know, we need some more saints that we used to have before. I was talking to an evangelist here about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he said that he went to hold a revival somewhere down in North Carolina, somewhere in North Carolina next to up there, at Pilot Mountain or somewhere up in that area. But he said he got there that week, and he said the people had been praying and everything, and he got to preaching. And evidently, they had been prepared for revival. They had been studying, and they'd been praying, and they'd been seeking God and everything, and he was up there preaching, and evidently they must have knew some of the old time way, and when I speak of the old time way and going back to the old path, I'm talking about going to the old path in the Word of God and worshiping the Lord. We don't have to go back in the 40s, the 50s, and everything else to where you didn't have running water and all of that, but you can still have the luxury that we have today, but we need not to forget about what God has done for us. And he was holding a revival, and the people started getting any messages in and everything, and they stood. Here's some of the ladies were today that they got up and took the old handkerchief right there and started waving it. And then the men got up and they took their handkerchiefs out and they would wave. He says, everybody in the church was surrendering. They were surrendering to God. They weren't surrendering to Satan. But and I liked it what he said, but he said that they really had a good revival that week. But here this morning, in the Genesis chapter 22, and y'all probably know this story better than I do, or maybe can quote each and every verse, but we need to look at some things here where we're going to look at two fathers, and which one of them's God the Father, and then the other one's Abraham. But it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him thou for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went up unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass and I, and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you. And Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hands and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord came unto Abraham out of heaven and the second time, and said, by myself have I swore, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessings I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And Abraham returned unto his young men. And they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Michal, she hath also bore children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz the firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kenuel the father of Aram, and Chizah, and Hazo, and these eight. But right here in what we've just read, we've seen where there was God the Father. There was not only God the Father, but a God that loved Abraham with all his heart and with all his soul, like he loves us. He loves me. He loves you with all his heart. With every being that he has, he loves each one of us. He does not love anyone more than he does the other one. He loves all the same, because he's no respecter of person. But he's that type of God. Now right here we see where, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. We see where right here that God tempted Abraham. Now the word tempt right here is not the same meaning that we think of the word tempt. This word right here, tempt, means test or testing. Abraham was being tested for the work that God was going to have for him to do, and the work that he'd been doing all along. You know, when you're in the work of the Lord, and when you're in it and you try your very best to do everything right, and you try to do everything according to God, and you want to please the Lord, it gets tough. And sometimes you get discouraged, and sometimes you get lonely, because nobody else understands where you're coming from. And we get in that position that we just get away from the Lord. So what does the Lord have to do to us? He has to also tempt us or test us. What he's doing, he's testing our faith. That's what he was doing right here with Abraham. He was testing Abraham's faith. If Abraham had the faith to keep on going, do we have the faith to keep on going? Do we have the faith to keep on and keep on going for the cause of Christ? Do we have enough faith to realize that if we'll stay with God, God is going to do what he has started many, many, many years ago. And it's going to end like he started, like he said. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the beginning. He is the last. And he is going to be the very last. He's going to be the very last thing that's going to come on the scene. He's going to be the very last thing, the very thought of people that I hear in the world. You know, they give up and they try this and they try that. And they say, well, I done been to church and I done tried this church and I done tried that church. And to me, it seemed like, too many of them out here too wishy-washy and all like that. If you jump around from church to church, yeah, it's going to be wishy-washy. Because you don't understand, you don't know what the individual really truly believes in. All these different faiths that I hear that they got, and they don't even have Baptists on it. I tell you what, a church that doesn't have Baptists on it, and it don't have nothing else on it, but it just says a church, which is a non-denomination and everything, anything goes. That's basically what they're saying. You come, and if you don't like what we're doing, we'll kind of adapt to your liking. Adapt to people's liking, and that's what the problem has been. The churches has got to the point that we've made it a place of comfort. That they come into God's house and they can sit down and they can have the comfort of God right there. Because the preacher, he don't preach nothing. He don't preach that we must have a conviction. And I cannot grab a hold of your conviction, and you can't grab a hold of my conviction. We, each one of us, has to pray for the Lord to give us the conviction he wants. Because there's some places that I can't go in. There's some places I can't go to. Why? Because God's convicted me of it. You make him go in, and it's okay. You said, now what are you saying, preacher? Now, you get into wishy-washy. If it's not okay for you to go, then it's not okay for me to go. But you have to pray that God will give you the conviction that he wants you to have. And if he gives you that conviction, no, you ain't gonna want to go either. But you can't grab hold of my convictions. And therefore, many years after I got saved, I was trying my very best to. I went around and to revivals, and I heard preachers and evangelists and preach and everything, and I said, Lord, I want their conviction. But the Lord never gave me that conviction. Why? Because it wasn't his conviction that the Lord wanted me to have. Because I needed maybe convictions in a different avenue than what they had. But right here, God, the Father of us all, he tempted Abraham, his son. This is his chosen vessel. I mean, Abraham was a man, and I believe he was after God's own heart. I don't believe it was just David after God's own heart. I believe that you can look at different scriptures, you can read different scriptures, and as you read and everything, you can sense that there are many in the scripture that was after God's own heart. They wanted to be so close to God. But as God was testing Abraham's faith, and what did he do? He told Abraham, he said, "Abraham, now I want you to go get your son. And I want you to get him, and I want you to get you some other individuals, and I want you to go to the on top of the mountain. The mountain that I'll reveal to you after you get there. And when you get there, you will find out some things about your own self and by some things that you had forgot about." There's a whole lot of things that we forgot about. I think it's over in chapter 39, or I think it's chapter 39 in Genesis, talking about Jacob, Jacob's vials. How many promises have we made God? And how many promises have we broken? How many promises did Abraham make to God? And how many promises did Abraham break? It's better not to make a promise and to make a promise and break it. Because if you make a promise to God and you or to anyone, and if you break that promise, you have broken the trust that people was looking to you for. And that's the only thing that we have. Just like in the book of Joshua, I mean, it is speaking about Caleb. Caleb's character. He had character. And that's the only thing we have is character. We have our testimony. And the two, I think, is woven together. It needs to be woven together. Our testimony and our character needs to be woven together. So when we speak about our testimony, then people can sense, hey, I like his character. I like what he stands on. Many people today, they're too wishy-washy. They'll come in and they'll come out and they'll do this and they'll do that. No, we need to start loving people. I mean truly loving people more than we ever have in our lifetime. Because the Lord is coming back. And he's coming back quicker now than we ever expected. And I believe it's at the midnight hour. And what happens after the midnight hour? Morning comes. And that's when he's going to return, I believe, because the morning is a new day, a new dawn. And we're going to have a new day there in heaven. How long is it going to be? It's going to be for eternity. How long is eternity? Forever. How long is forever? Eternity. How long is eternity? Eternity. How long is forever? It's forever. You can't get nothing else out of it. That's it. It's not for a little while. It's not for a couple years. It's forever. We're going to spend with God. And he's asking us just to spend a little time down here telling people about his love. And how are we supposed to tell people about his love? I believe one thing that we're supposed to tell, one way we can do it, is show that we care for them. Show that we love them and we care for them. Now, I mean, I wish that, I mean, I know, and I don't believe in the lottery, and the publisher's clearing house and all that. I mean, they've been sending me stuff for 25 or 30 years, and you know, and my wife was signing, she'd mail it back in. But you know something, I got to the point, I said one time, I said, you know, Lord, I says, they send me this mail all the time. Lord, would you allow me to win some of it? And I would be willing to take it and use it for you to help people. To help people that don't have a job. Help people that can't provide for themselves. And help missionaries and maybe go overseas and help them overseas that the church supports, and give them some money away where they can go on and build the church. Well, see, the Lord knows better. The Lord knows that if I got a hold of money, He knows that first the thing I'd probably do is end up paying my house off and buying me a new car and maybe end up buying a new home, something like that. And then I may think about giving some to Him. See, the Lord knows more about me than I do. So that's the reason He don't allow it to come my way. So the only thing I can do is do what He's asked me to do. But Abraham's son, right here, Isaac, God being the first father that was mentioned here. Now you have the second father, Abraham. What did Abraham do? He obeyed God. He obeyed God. He says, God, I want to come back to you. I want to be as close to you as I ever have been, or maybe closer. Every what you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. He didn't tell Abraham. God didn't tell Abraham right at first what he was going to have to do when He told him to go up to the mountain, Mount Moriah. He didn't tell him. Why didn't He? Because He didn't want Abraham no more discouraged than he already was. But He thought that he was just going to go up there and go up in the wilderness and everything and maybe kill a deer or bring back some meat or something for the family or whatever. But he goes up there, goes to the mountain. He obeys God. And then God says, Abraham, take your son Isaac and go out there and gather some sticks, gather some wood. I want you to make an altar. And I want you to, when you build it, I want you to take it and I want you to fix it to where there's going to be a sacrifice laid there. He went about and he took that wood and he placed it there on the altar. And then the Lord spoke, God spoke to him, and I believe God was speaking to him anyhow the whole time. But I don't think really Abraham really understood a whole lot of it. Because he says right here in verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Have we offered up anything to God? Have we? Have we really offered anything to God? We need to start offering something to the Lord. We need to go above the tithes that belongs to God for 10%. We need to go above that. We need to go into the offering, and we need to give above the 10%, because that's where God blesses. Above the 10%. But I believe God will bless more when we have to sacrifice something to give to Him. And just because we sacrifice it and we give it to Him does not mean that He's not going to take it and He's not going to give it back to us. Because when He gives it back to us, He'll give it back to us tenfold, sometimes 100-fold. He will give it back to us because that's a giving God. And that's what we need to be people. We need to be a people of giving out our love to the community. We need to be a people that is willing to do what we have to do at all costs. God done it years ago. The 30s, the 40s, and the 50s. The 50s was considered, where back then the 40s and the 50s were considered basically the Philadelphia church age. Why? Because back then you seen where families would gather together to go and help this one family if they was out sick, or if they couldn't go out and work on a farm that day, that the other neighbors would gather together and they would go over there and help. The men would help them gather the crops in, and the wives would go over and they would help the husband wife to clean up their house or prepare the food and everything. But today we don't even know our next door neighbors. We go home, we get in a car, we go home, we get out of the car, go in a house, and then the next thing, we go anywhere, we don't get out, and we don't walk to the next door neighbor's house. Why? Because we're living in the Laodicean church age. What does the Laodicean mean? It means the people's church. The people's church. I don't think there's no one in here that believes that this is the people's church. This right here is God's church. And if it's not God's church, you got to let me know and I'm gone. But it's got to be God's church, and it's got to be done God's way. And if it's not done God's way, it ain't going to get done. So the first thing should be on our heart and on our mind is to see souls saved. That's the first thing, to allow people to be able to come in and hear the gospel and hear something about us as individuals and what we believe in and what we trust in. Paul. I love to read after Paul. Paul, when he was called Saul, he worked for the devil, like a whole lot of us at one time before we got saved. We may not have realized it, but we was working for the devil. An individual that's not saved, they're working for the devil. But then, after you get saved, we should not be working for the devil. We need to start working for God. Why? Because God has allowed us to be the part of his family. And not only that, he's given us an inheritance. He's adopted us into the family. And I don't know of many families anymore that I know one particular family that at first they couldn't have children. And they adopted a girl. A baby. Baby girl. Then I think it's about 4 or 5 years difference in between them. About 4 or 5 years later, they adopted their son. But when were those babies when they adopted them? But then some years later, probably by 15, maybe 18 years later, she ended up having a child. She ended up giving birth to a child. And her husband, they cherished them children. Now that all three of them are grown, the father passed away. And this is before he even passed away. The adopted children didn't care for them anymore. Because they had their own blood kin. Now he's got everything that his father's worked for. That his bloodline has got it. His third child's got it. The other two children has been cast out. They're not going to inherit anything. But I want to tell you something. If you ever adopted into the family of God, you're going to inherit the same thing that I inherit. You're going to inherit everything that Jesus has. Why? Because he's going to share it with us. He's going to share everything that he has, everything that he owns. He's going to share this vast universe with us. But Abraham, Abraham looked to his father in heaven. And I'm glad I'm facing that way, because since I'm pointing to the east. But he loved God. And he wanted to please God. He really did. But in closing, what Abraham done, he went and he offered his son up, Isaac. Offered him up. Laid him on the altar. That takes faith. That takes faith. And knowing that you have your child there. Children that's alive, we dedicate them to the Lord. And that,
think that's the same thing as basically what Abraham done with the dedication. But he's done it in the way God wanted it done as a burnt offering. And he laid him on that altar. And here Abraham, he probably had it. Long garments and everything on, and he had it. And the belt around him and everything, and he had a knife. And he pulled the knife out. And when he pulled the knife out, because Isaac had already asked that part, said, Dad, where's the burnt offering? Where's the lamb? And he said, God will provide. God will provide. He will provide all of us, right? Providing Abraham from the womb. Took his mind. He raised his hand to the floor. But I put out of the Lord's Lord in the world. Not his brother. Not his brother. I believe that Abraham is coming back. And I believe that night, the point of the time, that's so close to God. His son is able. His son is willing to save whosoever will come to him. And we don't have to give up anything. Nobody's. I've never given up anything in my life. When I checked it, my want to change. My speech changed. The music that I hear changed. Even when I'm down to go down the highway, I'll hear a song on the radio, a Christian song, and I'll get to sing. The song is changed in my heart. Why? I had someone but to sing to. I had some love to serve. Why? Because he's God. Why? Because God saved my soul. I'm not going to hell. And no one else has to go to hell. It's our choice. Anybody go to hell, it's our choice. No one makes them go to hell. God don't want nobody to go to hell. It's up to the individual that they want the life. You want a better life? He's done to you. And, you know, me and Brother Bill were back visiting yesterday. We stopped at the pastor, coming out the other car, pulling in about a couple of blankets and said, and two young boys over there sat down and everything. I don't know why, but I couldn't get nothing leaving. Both of them were. That's the thing. that and keep the book. This is a what kind of church you go to?
Page 253, Lord, I'm coming home. 253. Father, we're thankful once again for the blessings you bestowed upon us, dear Lord. Thank you for the message. Thank you for your people, dear Lord. Help us to take the message home with us, dear Lord. And we're thankful for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen.
All right.